Don't forget to subscribe to Anomaly on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or any other podcast directory.
Anomaly. I am an anomaly.
Anomaly.
I am an anomaly.
Anomaly.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. My name is Angela. And I can bring home the Gondark and fry it up in the pan. And I am an anomaly.
Hi, I'm Jen. And I wore my Some People Call Me Mom, But I Prefer Master Jedi shirt to my first grader's class Valentine's Day party. And I am an anomaly.
Welcome to the podcast, everyone.
Welcome, peoples.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Jen.
Hello.
How are you today?
Doing very well. I'm glad today's Friday.
Me too.
Like, super glad.
Yeah, me too. Still so much going on. Everyone's very busy. Rogue One comes out on digital and video in the next, like, month, I think.
Well, good. Maybe we can address all the people who sent us email about our episode on Rogue One. If you haven't heard that, it's in the feed. Check it out. We did it back in January or December?
December. I think we did it right after.
Yeah.
Oh, we had guests. We did it at the same time.
We did. Yeah. And one of the messages that we got is from our super fan, Scott.
Oh, yeah?
We got a lot of voicemail from Scott recently.
Oh, good.
Thank you, Scott. But he said, I guess it really wasn't an anomaly episode. It was a Star Wars Stacks episode. It wasn't y'all's show. It was both of ours.
Yeah.
And also, I'm one of the hosts on the Star Wars Stacks.
So it kind of makes sense.
It does. It makes sense.
For sure. I think it was good. It was good to get everybody's perspective, for sure. Yeah, no, it's okay.
I wanted you to have the cushier chair because this is not as comfortable. So
thank you.
You're welcome.
You make me feel like a guest. I appreciate it. Okay, well, so what are we talking about today? Should we get right into it or did you have something else?
Let's get into it and we'll talk about other things later.
Okay.
This is our 10th year on iTunes. 11th as podcasters because we were just posting to our website hoping that it would reach the world.
Yes. That's weird, right?
It is. It didn't reach the world until we put it on iTunes.
Well, some people heard it.
So this is kind of our anniversary / reintroduction show. If you've been with us for a long time, thanks so much for sticking with us through all of the life-changing things we've been through.
That's what it is, though.
Kind of slowed us down every once in a while, but we always come back. We've had a lot of things happen to us since the beginning of this show. We've grown up, kind of.
I hate to put it that way. I don't really consider myself a grown-up.
I don't either. Not really.
I don't know many people who do. Maybe my mom.
I need an adult.
Yeah, so this is our anniversary, and it's also, like you said, the reintroduction. So our main topic today is talking about what is an anomaly, which is something we did, I think, in our last episode, we talked about it a little bit, but then in the first episode that is available on our archive is Hiding Your Geek. It kind of approaches the same idea, the idea of, you know, how do you identify yourself as a nerd or geek or whatever, and how did you identify other people, and how, you know, right now, after 10 years of talking about it, how that's changed, not only from the time we were young, but from the time we started this and now.
Right.
I think it's definitely a lot
different. It has changed a little bit.
For sure.
Well, when we first started out, the word anomaly was, and I think we've mentioned this before, but I know we have new listeners, and thank you for listening.
Hello.
And welcome. It was something you heard a lot on Star Trek, and it kind of defined who we were, because at the time, people were surprised to find out that we liked Star Trek and Star Wars, and sometimes the other women are like, really? And then sometimes guys were like, no way, what's the best Star Wars movie? They had to give you the test to make sure you're an actual fan.
Well, and I think,
and so Anomaly kind of, to me, that's what it was back then.
Yes.
We flew low under the geek radar, and now it's become more of a, we don't allow people to put us in a box kind of thing. We are who we are, and we don't care what you think. We don't fit in this box, and we don't fit in that box.
Right. It's come to, so I think, like you said, it started more as it was weird to be a woman who, it was directed.
Back then, yeah.
The idea that, and also remember that when we were listening to podcasts before we decided to start doing this, and all the ones we liked were guy podcasts, Rico's show included. And I remember finding a couple of girl podcasts and I was like, oh, okay. You know, the content that I wanted to hear wasn't there.
No.
So we decided to create that content.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's good and it's definitely resonated. But I think, like you said, now it has turned more into, it's not just about either being a woman or being someone who might not look nerdy, but they are. It's really more about the idea that, the idea that you can't really put anyone in a box. And this idea that, I don't know, this has kind of gone back and forth a little bit. The idea of like a fake nerd, like who's a fake nerd?
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. And it's weird though, because all of us have our little things though. And I think we're just protective of the things that we love. And sometimes I've been guilty of being like, oh, you don't really like Star Wars. Come on. It's not the same.
You bought that shirt at Target because it was pretty.
Yeah. And I mean, I've known people that I like that, you know, have like the Star Wars shirt. Mm-hmm. And I know they've never seen a movie, the movie. And it was just like a cute thing that they saw and, you know, it looked vintage or whatever. And it just, it used to make me a little more annoyed that it's like, oh, you know, this is the one thing we have. This is our thing and other people are taking it. But the other thing that's happened since then too is just the reinvigoration globally of the things we love. Star Trek, Star Wars, you know, that none of that had happened when we started this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was a coincidence. And then also Felicia Day, that happened after we started.
Not very long after.
Not very long after. I mean, not that it has anything to do with us. It's just that that wasn't around either.
No, she kind of helped get the ball rolling.
Yeah, definitely. And so all of these things that we kind of take for granted now were not around 10 years ago and definitely not 20 years ago when, you know, we were teenagers and 20-somethings. And we definitely didn't have anyone to go to. You know, sometimes we were lucky to find someone that Jen was not as lucky as I was.
No. We should revisit our stories.
Sure,
too.
Sure.
Like if you're listening to the show and you think Anomaly is just the name of our show, it's really more than that. It's a community.
Mm-hmm.
We love everything.
Right.
Like Angela loves Project Runway.
I do.
You know, she has an obsessive.
I really
love for that show.
I do love that show.
And old movies, like girly old movies and romance comedies. And you know what I mean? There's
Bring It On like, is one of my favorite movies. Brr, it's cold in here. There must be some toros in the atmosphere. I said brr. I'm sorry.
Now.
Best movie ever.
Now you know you're listening to an Anomaly episode because there was some singing.
It wasn't a singing. That was a cheer.
That was a cheer. Okay, sorry.
Thank you,
I have
Jen.
Not seen that movie.
Jen! We need to do an episode where you watch Bring It On. This is such an amazing movie. And Faith is in it. Eliza Dushku is in the movie.
I will add it to my Netflix queue.
Yeah, we're totally going to watch that movie. I'm so excited now.
Okay. You're going to have to get me drunk before I do that, but...
No, no. Nope,
okay,
nope,
okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't care if you're drunk. But the point is that that's a pretty standard movie.
Yeah.
That's a movie that a lot of people like. And to be fair, I do like Star Wars and Lord of the Rings and Star Trek better.
Yeah.
If I have a choice, if it's something where I have to choose, that's definitely more who I am, but that's not all.
Yeah.
And I think more of us are like that. And I think that's the thing is that like... For so long, people really wanted to put everyone in categories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how you kind of, you know, figure out how to deal with someone. Oh, that's the smart kid or that's the nerd or that's the popular kid or whatever. And you still get some of that, but there's a little more crossover and it's okay for there to be crossover. And I think it's also okay to be sort of a semi-nerd too. Mm-hmm. Like I love video games. Civilization is one of my favorite games.
Mm-hmm.
And I've played every version since Civ 2. I love the game. But when my husband got into it, he like got way more into it than I ever did. He started reading forums about strategies. He wanted to get all of the achievements. And you know what? I'm just as big of a fan of it as he is, but I don't play it that way. I play the way I like to play, when I want to play it, and that's it.
It usually involves wine.
Usually involves wine, and I like to do... Civ is one of those games I like to play over the course of, like, several hours. Yeah. I don't like to play... Like, yeah. Jim can play, like, an hour at a time, mm-hmm. 30 minutes at a time, and still enjoy the game. And I can't do that. I prefer to do it a different way. But that doesn't make him, like, a bigger fan of the game than me. It just means that we approach it differently. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's okay. You know, I think that's okay.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's where we really like to bridge the gap and invite people in. But I also think, you know, and this is one where you and I have had some argument, because I honestly think it's okay to not like this stuff. I know people who have no interest in seeing these movies or liking the nerdy things. This guy that shares the office, or the office right across the hall from us, he's just kind of he's a muggle. I mean, he's just basically a basic muggle. And he and I have had the conversation before about, like, it's just fantasy and sci-fi is just too much. I can't wrap my head around it. And I've had some conversations with him where I kind of explain, well, it's real issues. It's real things that they're talking about. Loss and war and pining and conflict. And these things, these ideas are real. And they're in the world. And by putting it in a fantasy setting, you can explore things in a different way than mm-hmm. you can just by having just a regular, like, living room drama. To me, there's no difference. You can get something out of all of that. And I think it's very funny how there are still people, the muggles of the world, as I call them, who, even as far as we've come, there is still some stigma, don't you think? And some people are, I don't know, it's weird, isn't it? It's weird that there are still people who kind of
roll their eyes
at the ideas, when I think there are sophisticated ideas in all of the things. And the other weird thing that people find about us that I think is funny, and Jen will like this, is that at the end of the day, we're kind of Star Trek nerds.
We are. We are. Because back when we first started the show, there was like this divide. Had to either like Star Trek or you had to either like Star Wars, and never
should the twain should meet.
Right. And we're like,
yep.
Well, I kind of like both. But I do we did an episode where we talked about it, like why we like this one and why we like this one. And then we started thinking, I think I could live in a Star Trek universe and be happy.
1%.
Yeah.
But just it is
a little bit leaning that way.
Yeah,
but we're just still, I mean, I have a Jedi costume.
Obviously, we are Star Wars.
We are hardcore fans.
And that is something that's weird too, is that mm-hmm. it's easier to be a casual fan, I think, of Star Wars. I think there's a wide audience that likes Star Wars.
It's more accepted.
And it's more accepted to be like, oh yeah, Star Wars, sure, Holy Jedi, you know, R2-D2, whatever. But Star Trek has a little different vibe to it. The fan base is thought of a little bit differently, which is, I think, what really put us in this anomaly idea. Mm-hmm. Not only did the name come from
Star Trek,
you know, we just started talking about Star Trek a lot more than I think we were going to. You know, it was never our intention to be a Star Trek podcast. And you and I have talked about this too, is that episode to episode, something Star Trek will come up.
Mm-hmm.
Almost constantly, because mm-hmm. there's always something, because it's such a wide variety of stories and things that, I don't know. Isn't that funny though?
Mm-hmm. And when we first started out, Anomaly was meant for women.
Unofficially,
Term Anomaly was meant for women.
Right.
Because it described us. We were the first anomalies that we could really positively identify as anomalies. And then we started stumbling upon them in the wild and going, oh my God, you're my friend.
Yeah.
I'm going to be my friend now because we're anomalies. Mm-hmm. And so, oddly enough, our friends themselves they identify as anomalies too.
They do.
You may have heard them on the shows. Hopefully in the future we'll have them back on. The Dynamics of Raid Groups episode that we do is like one of our favorite ones, because it's just all about our dynamic within our own friend group.
Right.
And how each of us, we were just talking about that earlier too, how on your form that you did for work, where you had to fill out your interests. so that on your birthday friend could find the perfect gift for you. So tell everybody what you said on your list.
So one of the questions, and remember the office is mainly muggles and one or two people like me. And it just asked, what would your superpower be and why? And I had an explanation because I would like to have telekinesis and astral projection because, and then I put dot, dot, dot. I said, as a leader of my raid group in the main tank, I need to be able to put out a lot of firepower and still be able to divert attention at a moment's notice. So those would be the best ones. But then I also said that even though I'd like to use it for fighting enemies, I would probably just use telekinesis to not have to get up to get myself a beer.
And she is an anomaly.
And I am an anomaly. That is definitely an anomaly thing. So, mm-hmm. But the point is that I've thought about it. It's very obvious.
Yes.
That I have put some serious time into thinking about what my powers would be. And for anyone who knows Charmed, those are Prue's powers. Mm-hmm. And that's very intentional because Prue is the oldest sister and she is the tank. And that's how it works. And what's fun though is that when you can find this group of people who are kind of like you, where you can talk about these things seriously and not have to explain yourself all the time. I don't know. You just speak each other's language, I guess. Mm-hmm. I always when you and I have gone to cons, not just when we're there, but kind of the whole weekend, we sort of give ourselves the ability to focus completely on the nerdy things that we like to talk about. I mean, I remember walking to Walgreens with you on one of those days, and the entire way there, entire way back, we were talking about the difference between dark side powers and light side powers in different universes and how if you're a good guy, you can't possibly have the chance to throw fire because fire is obviously an evil power. And it was like a completely
serious conversation
and neither of us were judging each other about the content of the conversation, but it was something that needed to be discussed because you do need to know the difference between light side and dark side powers. And I mean, it's perfectly natural to talk about those things, but not everybody's
bad.
Fire's bad. And also, lightning maybe can go either way depending on what you're doing. But fire's definitely bad. That's definitely a dark side power. I'm saying dark side, but like demon versus not demon.
So. Good guy, bad guy side.
Yeah. So anyway, but that's the kind of stuff that's cool about being an anomaly is that you can let the other people in your world sort of be that way. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but the idea of cosplay, how that's become like a big thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sad to say, for me anyway, I feel like it was 10 years too late sometimes because I'm not only older, but it's just that I have so many more things I need to do and I'm not in the same shape I was when I was, 22, and how much fun it would have been to go and do those things when I was a little younger. But it's also so cool how a lot of us that do those things, it's almost like that's who we really are. And when we go to work is cosplay. like the real cosplay is the business casual.
Yeah.
And the being able to, use fancy marketing terms in meetings and things like that. That's like the real play acting. And that I'm really more myself when I'm talking about firepower and lightning and force joke, and we're discussing the politics of the Galactic Empire instead of the politics of the United States. You know what I mean?
It's true. I was having, and it's funny that you brought that up. I was having a conversation with a muggle the other day. I don't know why. Maybe it was my shirt that I wore to the Valentine's Day party that said, "Some people call me mom," but that Jedi shirt that I wore. Mm-hmm. Well, a muggle mom pointed out the fact that I had drawn pictures for Aaron every day for lunch that were Star Wars with funny sayings, and Aaron's teacher loves them. And so sometimes I talk about her in the pictures too.
Cute.
And so she was asking about that. And I kind of opened up a little too much with her. And I said, "Yeah, sometimes I go to conventions dressed as a Jedi." And she's like, "Oh, really?" Because she knew I had just talked about how I'm an introvert, not an extrovert, which you may not know about me from the show because I seem very open. And at cons, even, I'm very open.
You are.
I am. But I'm the type of person who can fit in very well in a social setting, but I need that time alone to recharge.
Yep.
And sometimes I don't feel like peopling. So I had just told her about that, and she's like, how do you go to conventions dressed up when everyone's looking at you if you're an introvert? And I said, it's a chance to be myself in a way. Yes, I'm dressed up as a Jedi, but I'm giving myself permission to do this.
Yes.
And it's the one place I feel comfortable doing that.
Yes.
And I am a silly, completely ridiculous person at a convention because we're doing silly lightsaber duels in front of our table. I would never do that in public, but I allow myself to do that there. Mm-hmm. Because I'm kind of being more myself, like you were saying. We're cosplaying when we go to work.
That's the real cosplay.
Yeah. Do people know that that's the way we are? And, you know, when we go there, like, that person was completely shocked when I told her that I do that kind of thing.
Well, and I think that's one of the things where, you know, if you really want to put a label on the idea of an anomaly, is that there are nerds out there that do not ever attempt to cover up who they are at all. They've been able to arrange their lives that they get to do their thing all the time. That there's nothing bad about that because everybody does it in different... Mm-hmm. I think the thing is that there's different levels to it. There's different levels to the idea of, you know, how much muggle are you? How much nerd are you? And I think what anomaly is kind of that space in between.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like there's a misinterpretation. What's the word I'm looking for? There's a misconception that if... There's an if-then misconception of, well, if you like Star Wars... then, you know, you're a nerd and you can't have social skills or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, or if you know how to program, you know, so it's like all of these if-thens that people automatically assume. And I feel like anomaly kind of breaks that a little bit because on the other side, I really love racing games and I'm pretty good at them, but I'm not really good at them because I just want to play. And so I may play someone and they may beat me. I'm not going to be the very best. There are some people who are nerdy or even anomalies where are like, well, if you really love racing games, then you need to like practice until you're better than everybody else. But I don't necessarily feel like that has to happen. Or I remember our friend that used to work with us used to be like, you know, how can you call yourself anomalies if you don't watch or if you've never seen, because he was like really into
classic
he was a nerd
fiction.
Of his own right.
Yeah.
And he really liked classic horror movies and classic sci-fi movies, which is not something that ever really interested me. I'm not saying I wouldn't watch them. And there's a couple that I have seen. But in his mind, if you haven't seen these movies, how can you call yourself
nerds? How can you be a nerd?
There's not one thing that defines that necessarily. And or even when you look at like, the difference between us and Casey and Sue, they covered stuff that was totally different than we did. And that doesn't make either of us any less nerds about things. You don't have to fit into any one box in order to like.
And you don't have to know everything about that one thing you love either.
Right.
I am not going to remember every single episode title for Star Trek.
You know what's weird is I'm better at Buffy.
One where, or some people know the episode numbers. They know who directed it. They know.
I must say, if it's TNG, I'm really bad at episode titles. But if I see TNG, if I can see the first like minute and a half, I can tell you what happens in the episode. I'm pretty good about that. I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to a little bit of a weird. And that's the thing is that there's this thing that it crosses. And sometimes we do.
Yeah.
Sometimes there is something like. Russell and I have been trying to memorize all of the different lightsaber colors and what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's cool. And I want to know that. So I'm probably going to commit that to memory at some point. And I have committed some of them to memory. And for no other reason other than that, it interests me.
What about yellow?
Yellow is the consular, I think.
I thought that was green.
I think it depends on which source you use, I think. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the white one is the neutral. Here's us getting kind of nerdy. The colors are very similar in a way, like how it's been built out. Like, I don't even know where some of this comes from, but probably the books or the games or whatever. Mm-hmm. But some of them kind of remind me of the Aes Sedai colors and how the order sort of divides themselves up and set. And I think white, because white and Aes Sedai is the philosophers, right? And they do the mediating
the logic.
And things like that. Whereas I think the white And Star Wars is more about balance. It's about always finding balance between light and dark. They're very neutral. Mm-hmm. They don't pick a side. Of course, they're considered Jedi, but they're very open to what that means, you know? So, you know, this idea of, you know, maybe having to kill one person for the good of the many is something they might do. Whereas the blue lightsaber person might not do that.
The Guardian, yeah.
The Guardian may not do that because they would try to find a way, you yeah. know? And you know what I mean? So it's, I don't know. I love that kind of stuff though.
Me too.
Because when you get, and that's the weird thing is that we talk so much about Anomaly being that, oh yeah, we can.
You don't fit into a box.
We don't fit in a box and we can.
We like categories.
We can play normal if we need to, blah, blah, blah. But then at the same time, I mean, if you get us going, especially on the right topic, we can sometimes go there. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jen, how many of the Star Wars books have you read?
I don't remember. A lot. Some of them I wish I hadn't.
But that's the thing, though, is that...
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I read a lot of everything, but...
You do. Yeah. Anyway, so that's what's so funny is that we're always on that line. Mm-hmm. And we're always... Every day I do something mm-hmm. related to either video games or Star Wars or... Well, now that I have Russell and he is 8, almost 9, and he... Crazy, he's almost 9... He's now finished Harry Potter. He has watched everything Star Wars that he can. And he's watched some Star Trek. I made a mistake with him because I'd watched First Contact so many times. And it's my favorite Star Trek movie.
Mine
that
too.
when we reviewed it, I watched it while he was home. Because I was just like, you know, I just don't think about. And he was so freaked out by the Borg. That he refused to watch any Star Trek with me. And I was like, no, I mean, I know my son and I know that you would love Star Trek. And just, and he's like, as long as it doesn't have the Borg. And I thought, really, the Borg isn't in a lot of the episodes. I mm-hmm. mean, yes, there are some very key episodes of TNG where you have the Borg and throughout the rest of the series, but really it's not there a lot. And he was so freaked out by that though, that every time I do show him an episode, I have to be like, well, no, it doesn't have Borg. But, you know, I did show him, what is it called? Oh, my gosh. Disaster. Mm-hmm. The one where Troy and Ro and Miles are on the bridge. And then Captain Picard is stuck with the kids in turbo lift.
Yeah.
And then, oh, that's also the one where Worf has to deliver Keiko's baby, mm-hmm. which is one of my favorite things ever in Star Trek ever. And so I watched that because I thought, if he will like the one with the kids because he's kind of right in the middle. He's older than the littlest kid, but mm-hmm. he's not quite as old as the older girl. And he had seen some movies with Patrick Stewart. And so he, okay, Captain Picard, that's fine. And so we watched that one. And then he was able to watch a few more episodes with me. And so now, and the other day he was like, do you think I can blink like Data? I knew he'd like Data.
I hope that Aaron gets to that point. He just watched all the Hobbit films.
Ooh, oh yeah.
And now he wants to watch The Lord of the Rings. So tonight we're going to start with Fellowship. And he's seen all the Star Wars. He's seen all the Clone Wars cartoon. He's just into that stuff.
Yeah.
But Star Trek, he's not having it.
You know,
and I think it's, and I actually got him to watch a couple of the animated series.
Oh, really?
That's more his
speed.
Well,
he's a little younger, too.
He's a little younger, but I think it's too cerebral for him right now.
Yeah.
And I think he might like the original series, which is still cerebral, but that's
more
the one
action.
I got stuck on when I was little, too, just watching it in reruns with my dad, you know?
Yeah.
It's more colorful and bright and almost, you know, there's more action, like you said, more, well, there is action in TNG.
There is, but like everyone has said, it is a little more cerebral.
Yeah.
And
thinky.
That's the thing is I think now that Russell, you know, being the kind of kid he is, mm-hmm. I think that eventually that is going to be something that he prefers.
Yeah.
You know, because now that we've gotten into it and watched a few episodes and we do every once in a while, I'll just put on a couple of episodes on Netflix just to see, you know, just to gauge. And I think he's liking it and definitely liking Data, which I knew he would. So, I don't know. It's interesting, though. But, you know, I was just thinking, after we started this, 2 years after we, or like the year we started it, is when Big Bang Theory came on.
Yeah.
Big Bang.
And Battlestar was on, too.
Well, Battlestar was on, but that's,
We did a lot of episodes
on Battlestar. We did a lot of episodes on Battlestar. And, yeah, that's so funny. And we were so into it. I think I want to watch it again.
Me too. We need to do some re-evaluations.
Yeah, I think that might be interesting. Mm-hmm. It might be interesting to see. Anyway, now I can't remember where I was going with this.
Sorry.
We were watching Big Bang Theory. So it's interesting how the timing of Big Bang Theory coming out in 2007, I think, which was right after we aired, is it's weird to me because I almost think that Big Bang Theory is actually backwards to how people view nerds now. I think the actual population of people have gotten cooler with people either being a little nerdy or all the way nerdy or, you know, being able to kind of, obviously cons are constantly packed. So people are enjoying these things openly mm-hmm. and being cool about it. And I think it's funny how Big Bang still kind of, even though, you know, it's a cute show and it's whatever, that it still kind of put this thing about nerds where it's making fun of them mm-hmm. instead of really having them be, you know, taking the stereotypes and saying, well, this is how these people are. And that has been part of the culture as well. So it's like you've got this simultaneous growth of, hey, it's okay if you like a couple of these things that are different or nerdy, quote unquote, considered nerdy. But then you also have this show that's so popular with people that are muggles. A lot of muggles watch that show.
Yeah.
And
they think it's hilarious.
And I think that it's because, unfortunately, it does reinforce those stereotypes of... Yeah. I don't want to say worse because there are some cute things about the show, but I do think that it kind of reinforces some of the negative stereotypes about. And one of the things that's always bothered me about that show is that you finally get more girls mm-hmm. other than Penny. And even though the girls are scientists, they still are very down on the guys for watching nerdy shows and for comic books. And there's a couple of episodes where they sort of get into it, something like that, or maybe they're forced into it. But even though they're portrayed as the nerdy equivalent to these guys, they still, I don't know, they're still like kind of, well, when are you going to grow up and sell all of your toys? And it's like, dude, that is exactly
the opposite of what we would do.
Right. Yeah. Then, that is exactly the wrong message.
Also, I think there is a line between anomaly and nerd.
I think so.
And they may not be anomalies. I mean, there's just a fine line. You can be cool and be accepting of other people, or you can be like hard-nosed nerd who can't follow a conversation that if it's not nerdy. You know, right. Then you're not an anomaly.
Right.
I'm sorry. You can't be in our club.
But the thing about being an anomaly, though, part of it is just the willingness to want to be one. It's not just about, and that's the thing is nobody can tell you necessarily.
Whether or not you've made it
whether
yet.
Whether or not, and I think like if you, and the thing is that it's about balance. Mm-hmm. If you want to feel balanced. Like you want to be a little bit more balanced, then that's you. And that's what you should do. But I also think people should kind of be who they are, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think it's okay. I mean, if you really want to go hardcore into something, I mean, I'm not going to stop you. I mean, we have made full, you know, I made a Padme costume when I was pregnant. I wore once, twice. And I made it from scratch when I was pregnant with Lorelai. And I spent hours on it mm-hmm. to make it screen accurate as much as I possibly could. And like I said, I only wore it twice. And then after I had a baby, you can't wear a pregnant Padme when you're not pregnant.
No. Unless you get the bump thing that you can wear, like,
no, it's
the
still,
belt, and it's still not going to look real.
I would say that unless you drew the short straw in the cosplay group and they were exclusively doing episode 3, where, like, for some reason they had to have that character.
They cast you.
Yeah, and somebody was like, well, no one's pregnant.
Congratulations.
You have dark hair. Congratulations. You're pregnant Padme. Mustafar, go. And so it's like, you know, that I can kind of see. Otherwise, for me, I did not like the idea of wearing it again. So that's the thing is I went all in.
Yep.
There have been times when if you ran into us, like you said, at cons, you may not know that we blend in another world. And I hate it too, because like, it's so funny when we talk about it which is why I think it's interesting that we do talk about it, is that I don't want there to be any negative connotation to either being an anomaly, not being an anomaly. It's more about, in a way, it's a managing expectations. You may listen to our Lord of the Rings casts and think to yourself, oh my gosh, I've been a casual fan of Lord of the Rings, but I didn't know half of the stuff that y'all talked about, and I'm so excited, and I'm going to research more about it. Awesome. But you may be a really hardcore Lord of the Rings fan and listen to our cast and be like, these chicks don't know what the frack they are talking about. I don't know why they even call themselves fans, you know? And so that's why it's like, both of those things are true. Both of them are true. In one sense, we really don't know what we're talking about because we've read as much as we wanted to. We've watched as much as we wanted to, mm-hmm. but not as much as everyone.
No.
And so we're going to be wrong about some things.
And we're going to make. That.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's the thing about managing the expectation of Anomaly. If you're looking for, even on our Star Trek episodes, which we feel pretty confident talking about Star Trek.
Yep.
If you are a super duper duper fan, you may find some of our Star Trek episodes. Oh, that's the thing we were talking about. Oh, we have to talk worst about this. Of tell Trek the story. Still, okay, like, so worst of Trek. Okay. Go.
We have a series that we revisit every couple of years called Worst of Trek.
And it is the coolest show.
It's fun. It's just
so fun.
It's not like a separate podcast. It is like a series of episodes we release on Anomaly.
Right.
We like to pick the not so hot episodes of Star Trek. We love on them, but make fun of them at the same time.
Yes.
So like we talk about them because usually people don't even, they don't like that show. So they're not going to blog about it. They're not going to talk about it. But we like, we take it and like, oh, you little ugly duckling.
You sweet little ugly baby.
Oh, you got a booger coming out. Let me wipe that for you. And we talk about
Somebody has to love the ugly babies,
right?
Too.
So we call it Worst of Trek. And then we laugh.
But we also do talk about the good points.
Yes, we bring up what we like about it.
We usually find
the good
something
in everything.
Good in all of the episodes.
But not everybody comprendes.
There's like a worst contract.
Of Trek. Remember that line of people?
There's a line.
There are anomalies, and then there are hardcore nerds that they don't get it.
Right.
I know you're listening, and it's okay. We love you, too, and you're welcome.
Yes.
To be call yourself an anomaly.
We're managing your expectations.
We're managing your expectations. I know for one, there's a couple that are listening that just hate it when we do Worst of Trek, because they're like, oh, Star Trek is a good Star Trek, and how dare you
but the
talk
thing,
about that.
Okay, I want to address that, though.
Okay.
Because the point of doing Worst of Trek is...
No one else is doing it?
Well, not just that, but also that is the exact premise. I would never change the name because I think it's the perfect name for the series. Mm-hmm. The thing is, if we really hated it, we wouldn't talk about it. We wouldn't talk about it at all. You'll notice that there are some topics that nerds talk about we don't broach because we don't care. The reason we do Worst of Trek is because we love it so much. This is how we show love. We're also doing it tongue-in-cheek style because I think that we can all agree that no matter how much we love it, there are still things that aren't that good. I love Buffy, but there are a couple episodes of Buffy that are hilariously terrible. Even the cast will tell you that. Even Joss Whedon will tell you that. Oh, yeah, this is pretty terrible. I mean, you can listen to audio comments on some of the episodes of Buffy, and he'll be like, yeah, not our best effort. But sometimes it's okay to show love that way.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of, I don't know, sometimes it's good to poke fun.
You and I are both, we come from art backgrounds.
Yes, that's true.
I was a studio art major. You were a theater major,
yes.
And there is this thing called a critique.
Yep.
And in a critique, you talk about the ugly and you talk about the good. And that's what we do when we make fun of things. You know, we try to be fair when we do it.
The other thing, though, is that we do sometimes intentionally make fun because, I'm sorry.
Creepy Anakin.
That's true. Well,
creeper Anakin.
Poor, bless her heart, Gates, who ended up in two of our Worst of Trek episodes. We did do a nice one about one of her episodes with
Remember Me with Gail Carriger.
With Gail, yes. And so that was awesome.
Yeah.
And we earned some Gates credit back, I think, because we love her.
We do. She's
but
one of my
she
heroes.
Did end up as the subject of two of our episodes that were in Worst of Trek. But that's the whole point, though. Yeah, we wouldn't talk about it at all if we didn't love it. And we are going to make fun. If something objectively terrible is happening, it's okay to call it out.
That's why we say you have to have a sense of humor.
Well, you do.
To listen to
I
our
think
show.
You have to have a sense of humor about a lot of the things you that do. You love. Even like about your children.
Yes. Yes.
You do. I have a 2-year-old right now, and you have to have a really good sense of humor when you have a 2-year-old. For sure.
You
all
call
of
her
them,
your pet.
But 2-year-olds especially,
yeah.
You have to have A very good sense of
humor. So before we like acknowledge the people who sent us audio comments, let's revisit how we are anomalies, like what your anomalous history is for the people. Because I know we have a lot of people who've been with us from the very beginning, but I have seen the stats recently and we have a lot of new listeners.
Okay.
Nerd history. Anomalous history.
I'm trying to think, what do I talk about exactly? Just because of my personality, I just kind of always just liked what I liked. And I remember going to see Jedi with my cousin. And then we were playing in the sandbox and we made the Sarlacc pit and everything. And that was when I was pretty young. And I was always around boys, which I know that's a silly way to explain it. But I was around boys a lot. And boys are allowed to, were allowed more freedom to play with Star Wars toys and that type of stuff. I don't remember ever asking for a Star Wars toy or if I could. I don't know. It just never came up. But it was always something that I really loved. But the weird thing is that what I mostly got into was Star Trek. Because that same year, my parents, when I was 7, took me to see Wrath of Khan, which probably shouldn't have taken a 7-year-old to. Because I very much like remember the whole ear thing. And I was so terrified about that. But it really wasn't that bad. And I remember watching the show too. And then when I was 12, I have a very distinct memory of being in 7th grade and TNG premiering. Like I watched TNG the day it premiered. Like I was so excited, like sitting in front of the TV, nobody else gets to watch anything. I'm watching this right now. And that was my show forever, like until it went off the air. The other thing was I remember being in about 4th grade, I guess. Sometimes I was there early. And there's all the kids kind of lining up before they open the doors. And I don't think they do that anymore, but they used to just, you know, leave kids outside of closed school. But anyway, there was these boys who were Boy Scouts that would be there at the same time as me. And we would talk about amazing stories or something else of that nature rather than, you know, me hanging out with the girls and talking about Barbies or whatever it is. I don't know what 4th grade girls talk about, but
especially back then. I'm sure today it's quite different.
I mean, I'm sure, but I do remember kind of gravitating more towards people who liked those type of things and then not really feeling like it was weird. Like I was already a little weird. So let's just put that out there. I was already a little weird. I was, I guess, relatively normal looking, but I just, you know, I had glasses and braces, and 6th and 7th and 8th grade are annoying for everyone. And I was theater. I really wanted to do theater. That's all I wanted to do. And so I hung out with like theater and choir friends. And those people, musicians and artists and theater people, are a little weird. And so you just are allowed to be weird. My family also noticed very early that I was a little strange and like to just be myself. And so they just encouraged that behavior. I don't know why. And then I met Stephanie. I was more into science fiction and Star Trek and stuff, and Stephanie was more into fantasy. She was very into Disney and Renaissance festivals, and she was that unicorn girl. She still is. I'm talking to you, Stephanie. Together, we kind of created this very weird, you know, friendship where we introduce each other to like this other side of sci-fi, you know, me more sci-fi and her more fantasy. Yeah, then it just sort of, you know, the more friends I met, you know, then you start watching like Monty Python and all of these kind of stereotypical things that all nerds know about, even if it's not necessarily nerdy.
Yeah.
Even when I got into college, it just got even worse because then I met my friend Heather. And Heather and I both were huge Star Trek fans. And the thing is that pretty much all theater people are a little bit nerdy, but Heather and I were kind of nerdy for theater people. Like some of the other girls we hung out with in theater were way cooler than us. We were not very cool. I mean, we were, but you know, it's just a totally different type of thing. I mean, I remember in our dorm room, she had a picture of Brent Spiner as Data, and that was so cool. I thought that was awesome.
You were cool in a non-conforming way.
Well, and that's the thing though, is that, and this is the 90s. So it just wasn't the same. Mm-mm. And again, the kind of person I was, I didn't really hide the kind of stuff I liked or the things that I was into. So I met my husband, Jim, when we were teenagers, and we dated on and off in college, and we ran into each other when we were about 20, and that's when all the Star Wars, the re-releases came out. And when we were dating, we went and saw, I think, all three of them, and it was very exciting. I love Star Wars, and I was so excited to watch it. And then we lost touch and we started dating again in 2003. We dated longer and of course we're married now for about 20,000 years or however long we've been together. And over that first year we dated, he realized, I think he thought that I went to see Star Wars.
For like, him.
For him. And then he was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And there's been times where he's actually said, I think you're a bigger nerd than I am. And I'm like, you think? And he can actually build a computer from scratch. That's pretty nerdy.
And do a Rubik's Cube and he beat someone from Mensa at chess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, this is what's cool about Jim, though, is that, well, first of all, the guitar thing. Mm-hmm. He's a punk rock guitar player. And so to me, that's like cool cred. I don't have anything that makes me as cool as that. There's nothing except for the fact that I'm a moderately attractive girl. Like, that's the only thing that makes me normal. Thank goodness for that, because who knows what I would be. Jim's thing is that he can play guitar and he is really good in conversation somehow.
He is. He's a master. And you know what's funny is that I don't think he really enjoys
talking
making
to people.
Small talk, but no, he's so good at
it. He's really good at it. You are so right. Anyway, so like he comes across like way less nerdy than I do, because I'm kind of a spaz. And so he's not. He has a lot of control over himself.
Angela, you just described that perfectly.
He's pretty nerdy in his own right, but he's cool because of the guitar thing and because he doesn't act like a spaz. I do act like a spaz, but I can kind of make myself be normal when I need to be. And I've hung out with I even have some muggle friends, right?
I have muggle friends that I hang out with completely nothing to do with
nerdy stuff that I enjoy spending time with. And so I can totally do it, but it's just, I prefer most of the time to hang out with my nerdy friends. And I don't know, I just feel like I really out-nerd him and he's always amazed. Like he thinks that he knows how nerdy I can get. And then I just go that extra mile and he's like, And now that I'm doing websites, so now I've really done it. I mean, now there's like nothing. There's not a lot of things that are non-nerdy about me. And my other thing, I was Lorelai, my daughter, she's about to turn 2. She can identify Star Wars by logo and by music. Yeah. If she hears the Star Wars theme, she goes, Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars. And she gets so excited.
She's adorable.
And she is cute. She's a terror. She's a spaz. like me.
She's different from Russell. Russell's more quiet and very...
Oh, he's very studious.
You often call him to like an old man trapped in a young child's body.
I believe that. He's going to a chess tournament tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, that's my kid. And I am an anomaly, you know. But that's the thing too, is that Jim's deal, and this is another reason why I think that my husband is also an anomaly, is that he hyper-focuses on things. Like I was saying about Civ. Like, I just like to play what I like to play. This game, whatever I feel like playing. He hyper-focus. He decides, I'm going to play Civ. So then he plays it. He plays everything out of a game.
Yep.
He plays chess. Chess is one of his things. And he will chess and buy books about chess and get apps about chess and re-go over his games. And so, like, that kind of hyper-focus is very nerdy. But somehow still not as nerdy as me.
I think Jim and I are more alike because I hyper-focus on things. And everything I need to know, I want to know it all about the thing that I'm trying to learn about. It's not just a competitive thing, but one of the things we like is that personality test. Myers-Briggs.
Yep.
I am INFJ. And those types of people are really devoted to things, doing them correctly and right and perfectly. So I can understand why he does that. But I was raised a tomboy. I was like the oldest girl. And for a long time, my dad didn't have a son. So he called me Jimmy.
Wow.
My name is Jennifer, Jenny. But he called me Jimmy for fun.
Wow.
I grew up on a farm and I worked cows with him and rode horses with him. But in the evenings, on Saturday nights, we would watch Star Trek, like in syndication. My dad, like I've said before, is like this rough and tough cowboy, but he proposed to my mom during an episode of Star Trek. He is an anomaly too. He's the reason I am the way I am. And my mom encouraged it, I guess. Like she didn't say, go be a cheerleader. Stop doing that stuff. You know, you need to do more girly things. She's like, whatever, go get some dirt under your nails and play with those Star Wars figures I got you for Christmas. All my friends had been boys, all of them. But when you get to be a certain age where you start noticing, hey, that guy's kind of cute, but they don't want to give you the time of day because you're one of the guys, then I started thinking maybe I should stop liking the same things and like girly things so they'll like me, which I shouldn't have done. But, you know, 12, 13 year old.
Weren't you also abnormally tall?
Not abnormally tall. I grew up in a community that had a lot of Irish, Polish, and Hispanic people. The Polish people were really tall. My family is Swinglish, Swedish English. So we were kind of moderately tall, but definitely taller than Hispanic people. They were all much smaller.
But, I'm just joking because I was like super small growing up. And so that made me weird.
And you're from German stock. You should be tall too.
Well,
what's wrong with you?
But I'm normal size and I'm like totally medium now. I'm not tall or short for a girl. In fact, I'm on the tall end for a girl. But you and the other people we hang out with are all super tall. So many of them. And so okay. I feel short.
5'8". If you think that's super tall, then I guess it is.
I think that's tall for a girl.
Okay.
But I'm joking because when you were young, because we've had this conversation, that's why I'm bringing it up, is that when you were young, you did grow pretty, you know.
I was taller than the boys. Earlier. Yes, most of the time. I was taller than most of the boys, and they didn't want to date the girl that was taller than them.
Nah.
That's the other thing. Also, like I've said in the past, I was the playground superhero. Anytime a little kid was being picked on, I made the bully stop. And if they didn't, they had to answer to my fist. And I never got in trouble. In fact, I was given a lollipop one time for defending kids on the playground. But anyway, that probably hampered my dating. So I became like Supergirl. I became like super girly. And because like I wanted to be the girl that got all the guys. But I wanted to be super normal. And I was. And for a long time, I hid everything that I liked for, you know, like Star Trek and Star Wars and nerdy things. I hid that and I didn't reveal it for a long time. Even my husband that I met in college did not know for several years.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, until I'd been married for almost a decade. I met Angela at work and we started talking about Lord of the Rings and it all came out. Yep. And then he was like, Jim, like, oh my God, where did this come from? Well, I've been hiding in a very dark closet for a very long time. Surprise!
I wasn't hiding it from Jim. He was just being, he just didn't get it. He didn't get it until he was around me a little longer. And then he was like, oh, well, okay.
I was made fun of whenever I
talked
about it. Kids didn't pick on me. Adults did.
That's so weird.
They, like my, one of my mentors, I love her. I still do. She was my painting teacher. I remember talking to a really nerdy dude about, you know, last weekend's Star Trek episode, you know, this was in high school or whatever. And she came over to me and just, oh, Jennifer, not you too.
Oh, that's so terrible.
And so you have to like, oh, there's something wrong with that. I made sure not to talk about it. And then whenever I had friends other than you, they were never nerdy. Hmm. Never. And whenever I did talk about, oh, well, let's go see Lord of the Rings. I want to go see what?
Lord of the Rings
is
awesome.
No, what, are you nuts? No, we're going to go watch this chick flick. So anyway.
But not Bring It On.
Not Bring It On. So that's kind of our background.
And now, I mean, you know, since we've been doing this, it's harder to maintain your anomaliness when you're a mom. Because that's changed since both of us.
It's easier if you have a boy.
Well, I agree with that, but there's still more responsibility, regardless of how your child is. Yeah. It's just more responsibility. Like, you can't sit and play Civilization for 5 hours at a time as easy.
No.
You have to, like, plan that stuff a little bit more. You know, it's just, and even, like, going to see a movie is just hard when you have children. That does change how you do it, but it doesn't change who you are. I mean, I don't.
No.
In fact, I'm still trying to put together Lorelai's Rocket Groot room. I will do it eventually because I think that'll be awesome.
That would be very cute.
Yeah. I've already baby got Groot. Baby Groot. Yeah. Rocket and Baby Groot. And we have a lot of little raccoon stuffed animals and stuff. I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, that's the thing is that like, yeah, I am. That's not that I force it on my kids, but it's part of who we are. So I just share with them.
And they can like what they like.
They can like whatever they like. Yeah. It just so happens that mine, who's now almost nine, that he's, you know, he has gotten into everything a little bit more. My very last thing, you know, we were talking about Star Trek. Yeah, he's gotten in a little bit more, but Harry Potter, for a while he fought me on that. And of course, I really didn't push it too much because it's kind of,
Scary.
Well, yeah, it's kind of scary, and it's also kind of adult, and he just started reading novels. Mm-hmm. But he started reading it in September, and he finished 2-3 weeks ago. He finished the entire series, and he's like all in. Somebody got him a wand for Christmas, and now he's like all in Harry Potter. So that's so he like has naturally given himself over to all of these things. I will accept both of them either way, but it is kind of nice to have a little nerdy boy.
It's true. Aaron likes, he likes Harry Potter too, but he's stopped at Prisoner of Azkaban. The movie, it's too scary. And it's like, it's okay. But Lord of the Rings, he wants to watch that.
Russell watches Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny too, because the Harry Potter thing, I really wanted him to read the books. And so I didn't let him watch any of the movies until he read the books. And so that was the goal. That was the whole deal, is that he had to finish each book that he finished. We let him watch the movie.
Yeah.
So I wanted him to really have the real experience of reading the book. And I'm glad that I did. And it was also something, because this is like not really that big of a deal, but I'm going to say it anyway. Ever since he was little, when we watched Star Wars or even some other stuff, if I knew it was going to be stressful, I would warn him, you know, like, okay, this is about to happen and somebody's going to die and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But in Harry Potter, we didn't give him any warning at all. We just let him read and we did not give him any spoilers about anything. And I'm glad, because then he was able to experience it like in real time, like we did. And sometimes that did he got upset, you know, and he mourned the loss of characters and things like that. But I think that was an important thing for him to be able to do. And he wouldn't have, I mean, first of all, his reading level was not up yet. But now, and I think he's more mature too, but he really hates Umbridge.
I don't blame him.
Did I tell you that I saw a quote by Stephen King about Umbridge?
No.
He believes that Dolores Umbridge is the best written, like, sociopathic villain since Hannibal Lecter.
That's pretty legit.
And I was like, And even the other things that have happened in the books that were way worse than anything that happened with Umbridge did not affect him near as bad. He still talks about Umbridge and how much he hates her. I think that's pretty amazing. Isn't that funny? I mean, it's just interesting. And I agree, because I feel the same way about Dolores Umbridge. Ugh, she's terrible. But anyway, we have to probably wrap this up.
Yes, we do. We had a few people send us audio comments, and we'll play those now.
Printing out emails. Here come the emails being printed out.
My name is Megan, and my Monday mornings consist of my boss asking me how D&D went last night. And I am an anomaly.
I'm Reggie, and I still use the Jedi hand wave to open automatic doors, and I'm an anomaly. To me, being an anomaly means unapologetically embracing the things that you love, whether that's sci-fi, fantasy, or B-movies with kaijus and giant robots, and then sharing that love with other people. Some of the things we like can be very niche, so it's very special when you can find other people who enjoy those same things, or when you can share your love for those things with other people. And I think that's what being an anomaly is all about.
Hello, Jen and Angela. This is Scott from Colorado. This is in response to your question, what it means to me to be an anomaly. I guess it's marching to the beat of your own drummer, no matter what that is. You can be an anomaly and not like science fiction or fantasy. An anomaly is, when you really look at it, a wide category, but a definite badge of honor and something that another anomaly is going to pick up on, no matter what it is. It's doing your own thing and embracing that and realizing that to you, you know, that's what it is. For instance, when most kids in high school were going out for sports or all these other things, I was the kid was interested in going to a cappella choir and doing an after-school theater project where we actually put on plays. my friends and me would sit in the hallways talking about G.I. Joes and Dungeons and Dragons and whatnot. It was not anything that we were like, oh, hey, we're going to talk about this and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. It was just something that we did when one of us found a place that bought and sold wooden swords. We bought them and would go find a park somewhere and have sword fights. And we didn't care what other people thought about it. We had fun. We enjoyed what we were doing. And that really is, to me, what it is. You love what you love, and that's it. And you don't need to make any excuses for it. Just embrace it. Yes, there might be times and we might be with certain people that we don't talk about it, but it is who we are and should not be apologized for. So many times I hear people and they're almost apologetic when they talk about their love for it, or they apologize because they don't love or have as much knowledge as you do. I've been playing with a friend the Star Wars X-Wing miniature game, and his son is picking up these ships, and I'm looking at him like, oh, look, that's Prince Cheezor's Star Viper. And he's looking at me, and his eyes are getting big, and he's like, what? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the ship that Prince Cheezor made. I said it was... And it told him the backstory about it. And as I'm talking about it, I'm realizing, wow, I've got way too much of this information in my head. But it's neat to see that glow in someone else's eyes. All of a sudden, it's just, you know, he's like, wow, there's so much more out there than 6-7 movies. It's neat to see that and should not be apologized for, whatever it is. So... yeah, an anomaly can mean different things to different people. I was the kid who, while everyone else was, you know, looking at tapes of football games and wondering how to tackle the other guy, I was reading my script and helping build sets. And I am an anomaly.
One of the best things about anomalies is we all have interesting things to say. So what's on your mind? Write to us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. Or call our voicemail line at 432-363-4742 and leave a message or two or three or four or five, as many as you want. We're totally cool with that. Thank you to Megan, Scott, and to Reggie for sending those in. We appreciate you taking the time to do that. And if any of you out there want to send us messages, you can. You can tell us about your anomalous history or comment on any of the past episodes that we referred to in this episode or anything else. You can find them at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. There's an archive there and also just a feed that you can subscribe to that will always update you. Don't forget to subscribe to our show in iTunes and in Stitcher and in Google Play or anywhere else that podcasts are available. That way that you're constantly updated with our show, which we'll be releasing monthly now. We're hoping to do a listener feedback episode soon, maybe over Skype. And then everybody who sent us emails and audio comments will address everybody in one show. Yep. There's just too many to do in this show. But thank you for listening and for subscribing and for sticking around with us for 10 years.
Yay,
10 years old.
Happy birthday to us.
Happy birthday. Well, I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela. And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast,
where female and fandom converge.
All right.
Yeah, sorry about that. Thank you.
us know what you think. Join the conversation on the Anomaly Podcast Facebook page at facebook.com/anomalypodcast. Like our page, then join our Facebook group and enter the House of Anomaly. Not like a physical structure, more like a Ravenclaw, Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, Slytherin thing. The Slytherin anomalies like to kick up a little dirt in debates, but on a whole, everyone's very friendly. Go to anomalypodcast.com/contact to find the Facebook page and our Facebook group. Here's a sample conversation of what you're missing on the Facebook group. Obi-Wan Kenobi versus Voldemort. Discuss. Casey, Voldemort. Sorry, guys. Angela, Obi-Wan is the obvious winner, Casey. Casey, they said the same thing about it in La La Land. Angela, Voldemort was educated and trained in earth magic at prep school. Obi-Wan was a trained warrior with not only access to a supernatural galactic power, but a lightsaber weapon that could block any spell Voldemort could conjure. Voldemort is one force push away from total destruction. Casey, I told my husband Kevin your answer and he started yelling things about Ventress and a group of witches, and the force is not effective against magic. He was very passionate about this. Also, supernatural galactic force? Do you mean midichlorians? Obviously, I did not watch The Clone Wars. I'm an animation snob. Angela, Russell says that is not true. Casey's husband, Kevin, I will fight your son. Angela, Voldemort's power is based on Earth magic. It's planetary drawn at best. Obi-Wan's is galactic. And we do not recognize midichlorians in this house. You can now find a donate link in the main menu on our site at anomalypodcast.com. Donations are only used for podcast-related expenses. In essence, they keep this ship shipshape and flying. If you can help us out, please go to anomalypodcast.com/donate. No amount is too small, and everyone who contributes will be mentioned in an episode of Anomaly. A Patreon campaign is in our future, and one of the rewards we've been considering is additional monthly episodes for those who donate on a monthly basis. Interested in knowing more? Subscribe to our newsletter at anomalypodcast.com or email us at girlygeeks@gmail.com and we'll inform you of the details once everything's finalized. The music used in this episode, in order of their appearance, you take the paper in your hand, crumple it, and toss it in the garbage. I'm not kidding, people, that's really what it's called. By Hustlonia. You can find them over at bandcamp.com or follow a link from the show notes for this episode at anomalypodcast.com. The second track played was Construct by Rick Moyer. You can find his music on iTunes, CD Baby, and at StarTrekParodies.com. There's also a link in the show notes. Our site is loaded with hundreds of episodes that don't appear in the feed. One of the most popular archived episodes right now is an interview that Sue did in 2011 with Ashley Eckstein, the voice actress who played Ahsoka Tano in the Star Wars Clone Wars animated series. And she also happens to own a little online store called Her Universe. Maybe you've heard of it. Anyway, there's plenty of other episodes like that, all at anomalypodcast.com. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.